Hello, and welcome to this edition of Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Glad to have you with us. I am your host, Bob Scrivano, right here on KFPK for 18 lovely years. Glad to have you with us. A couple things we have to get out of the way right away. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your request. What else? I'm not securities licensed. I'm a notary. Everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, tax, or securities advice. I probably could snake a drain, but other than that, we have to go through all of that every week because otherwise people get mad. People always think you're talking about them when you're talking about something. So anyhow, today is a show you're going to want to listen to and take notes. And the reason I say that is because I'm going to be talking about something that's really kind of hard to wrap your head around, and I've never talked about it on the radio before that I know of at length. And it has to do with something called look back. The look back period, the 30 month, the 60 month, the 36 month, the thing that you've heard called the look back period. And it's going to be a little hard for us to wrap our head around, and I'm going to do my very best to go through this with a bunch of stuff, and I'm going to have some regulations and some form numbers, and I'm going to try to do as good a job as I can or know how to do explaining the look back. And all of that, this program is airing on February the 7th. And so everything I'm about to tell you could change, and I'll talk about this later, because there's some new rules coming, and we don't know when, but I'm talking about everything that's in effect as of the date of this program. As always, you can reach me in a couple different ways. The best place is to go to my website, assetsandaging.com. That's ASS. Pardon me, ETSANDAGING, assetsandaging.com. When you go there, you can email me, you can ask me questions, you can look at past radio shows, you can get information, you can sign up for an upcoming workshop. I have a workshop coming up soon. You can sign up there for the upcoming workshop. What else? You can, all kinds of stuff. You can listen to my podcasts. Every Wednesday at noon, I do a live podcast. And my archive of podcasts is there. My archive of radio shows is there. My phone number is on my website. By the way, let me give you my phone number. In case you don't have a computer, you can always reach me at 800-999-8007. Again, 800-999-8007. But the best place to go is my webpage. There's information, workshops, radio broadcasts, podcasts. And again, every Wednesday at noon, I do a live podcast on my webpage, on my website. And you can go there and listen, or you can go back and listen to the archives and be informed. My goal is to help people stay informed as to what's going on in the world of long-term care, in the world of what happens when we get older, being able to always answer the two great questions of life, which are, who's going to take care of me as I get older, and how am I going to pay for it? It's what I do every day and what I've been doing for 25 years. And I don't have answers to everything, but I have answers to a lot of things. So today we're going to talk about look back. And it's going to be a little hard to wade through. I've assembled a bunch of stuff, and I'm going to do my best to wade through this so that you can understand it. Because there are lots of people who say to me, Bob, I've heard you can't do anything for 3 years. I've heard there's a five-year look back. I've heard. By the way, the first thing you do when someone says to you, well, I heard that, or I read, you know, or you know, it says that, or ask them where. If they can't tell you where it said whatever they're saying it, then they generally probably don't know what they're talking about. And part of my problem today is I'm going to give you lots of source material. And you can go look up the source material. So, and again, if you can't get it all, you can always go back and listen to this radio program again on my website and write down the information and go look it up for yourself and go from there. So, anyhow, let's start with look back. What is a look back? Well, first is, there's no such thing as a look back. There is something called a period of ineligibility. So when we're applying for Medi-Cal, if someone's in a nursing home and we're applying for Medi-Cal because we can't afford to pay $9,000 or $10,000 or more a month, I mean, whatever it is, then there's this thing called that people hear about called the look back. When what it really is, it is a period of ineligibility. And what it has to do with is making a transfer of uncompensated or for uncompensated value. Now, in the real world, we call a transfer for uncompensated value a gift. So if I make a gift, okay, then that gift might make me ineligible for some period of time. Okay? So it's a property for not adequate consideration or a gift. So if I give somebody $1,000 and in return for that I get a car that's worth $1,000, that's not a gift. That's a transfer for consideration. I gave you some consideration, you gave money. You gave me a car. Everybody with me so far? Okay. So let's talk about what a period of ineligibility is and all of that kind of stuff. So I want to start with, and I got a bunch of stuff here. So I want to start with a Medi-Cal form that if you apply for Medi-Cal, they send you this form in the mail. When you apply, they send you this form. And this form is available online. You can go online and you can go to the Medi-Cal website, which is DHCS, Department of Healthcare Services, .ca.gov. And you can go to the Medi-Cal portion of that site. And there'll be a place there called Forms and Regulations. And you can look up this form. This is a State of California form. And the form is called an MC, which is short for Medi-Cal, an MC Information Notice 007. An MC Information Notice 007. And at the top of it, it says Medi-Cal General Property Limitations. Okay? And it goes through and it talks about them. And then at the bottom of that first page, it says Property Exemptions. So there is certain property that is considered exempt from all of these quote-unquote look-back rules. Oh, stay with me. You got to bear with me because this is going to take me a while to get through. Because it's hard to understand and the stuff is located all over creation. In a little bit, I'm going to refer to another Medi-Cal form called an MC 176P as in Paul I for period of ineligibility. I'll get to that one in a minute. But for instance, it says the following property is exempt from any of these rules having to do with a look back. And the very first one is your principal residence. Property used as a home is exempt. That is, not counted in determining eligibility for Medi-Cal. So your house is exempt. It also says other property, says up to $6,000 of the equity value in non-business real estate may be exempt. It also is a fact that any property that touches the property on which your house rests is exempt. So if you own a house on 2 acres and touching that piece of property is a bare piece of land that's 2 acres, that's all exempt. In other words, it doesn't count as property subject to the look back. It also says real property used in a business or trade. So if you have a piece of business property, that's also exempt. Now let me go through some other property that is exempt. Bear with me now, okay? It's gonna get a little icky here for a while. One motor vehicle is exempt. Personal property used in a trade or business is exempt. I'm reading from the Medi-Cal form. Personal effects are exempt. Household items are exempt. IRAs, KIOs, and other work-related, that's a 401k or any, you know, that kind of stuff, or other work-related pension plans are exempt. The income may count, but they also can be exempt. Irrevocable burial trusts or irrevocable prepaid burial contracts are exempt. Musical instruments are exempt. Recreation items such as TV, VCRs, computers, or gun collections are exempt. Listen to the next one. Livestock, poultry, or crops are exempt. Certain property that paid out by a state-certified long-term care policy is exempt. There are certain kinds of long-term care insurance policies that are exempt. And life insurance policies up to $1,500 that have no cash value. And so you got to be careful with that one, because if I have a $200,000 term policy, it has no cash value, therefore it's exempt. Everybody with me so far? So there's a lot of property that's classified as exempt. Now, I want to go to another form with that in mind. I'm going to be switching forms here. You may hear rustling paper. Bear with me. I told you, if you want to understand this look back thing, now I'm going to look at a Medi-Cal form. So that last form I read you was the MC Information Notice 007, which listed exempt property. Now I'm going to go to a worksheet that's called an MC, short for Medi-Cal, and this is all available on the Medi-Cal website, state website, an MC-176-PI. Stands for period of ineligibility. And at the top of this, it says period of ineligibility for nursing facility level of care worksheet. Now, I'm here to tell you that every year in California, thousands of families lose everything paying for a nursing home because they don't understand what this look back thing is. And I want you to stop thinking about it as a look back and start thinking about it as a period of ineligibility. So I want to read you the first question on this form. And the very first question says the following. Was the property transferred exempt at the time of transfer, yes or no? Now, let me go back to the other sheet. I know that my house is considered exempt by Medi-Cal. So if I transfer my house to somebody else or an irrevocable trust or to whatever, so it says, was the property transferred exempt, yes or no? If it was my house, I would answer that question, yes. Or if it was my business property, I would answer that question, yes. Then underneath that question, it says, if yes, stop, no period of ineligibility exists. That's really important. So if I transferred my house, which is exempt, according to the state of California, there is no quote-unquote period of ineligibility or look back. That's a really important concept to understand. If I transfer any of the other things on my list that are exempt, like the land that touches the house on which my land, it's exempt. There is no look back. Now, I want to read you one other thing. I'm going to go back to the other form for a minute. Okay? Now I'm going back to the MC Information Notice 007. It also says that any transfers to a spouse, whether exempt or non-exempt, are not subject to a period of ineligibility. So if I transfer any kind of property from a husband to a wife or a wife to a husband, that transfer does not create any period of ineligibility. Do you understand how important that is to understand? All the stuff you've heard all these years about there's nothing you can do if it's more than 30 months or five. By the way, in California, the rule is 30 months. I'm going to read you the rule in a little bit. It's not 5 years. Now, eventually, it will become 5 years because of something called the Deficit Reduction Act of 2005, which was signed into law by President Bush in 2006. But in California, these rules have not been implemented yet. So we're still using the rules that I'm talking about. Eventually, there will be a 5-year period of ineligibility or a 5-year look back, and there will be a 5-year penalty period. So for those of you that think you can sit around and wait, what's coming is going to be beyond awful. And just as an aside, the VA has proposed regulations that when applying for VA benefits, and it's expected those will go into effect sometime this year, there will be a 3-year look-back period or period of ineligibility for the VA. Right now, there is no look-back or period of ineligibility under current VA rules. That will change probably this year. So it's important that when we talk about things, you distinguish between are we talking about VA or Medi-Cal. Today, I'm talking about Medi-Cal. Everybody with me so far? So we just found out that there really isn't a 30-month look back. There's a potential look forward period of ineligibility of 30 months. So if I make a gift today, I have to determine, was it to my spouse? If it was to my spouse, it doesn't matter. If it wasn't to my spouse, but was exempt property from that list I read to you, it doesn't matter. If it's non-exempt property, it matters. So for instance, currently in California, if you're married, about $119,000 of cash in the bank is exempt. It's called a community spouse resource allowance. Okay, but let's say I have more than that. If you're single, you're only allowed to have about $2,000 in cash. Anything above that is considered non-exempt property. I hope I haven't lost you, but I want you to understand this, and there is no simple way to explain this. Lucy, there's no simple way to explain this. You just have to go through it and try to understand the rules. Now, what if I transfer non-exempt property? What if I had more than $2,000? Or what if I had a rental house, which is not considered business property, and that rental house had more than $6,000 in equity? Now what do I do? Now we have to go back to our form that says if the property was not exempt, then we have to go on. And now we get into, bear with me, here we go. And this is going to get really weird, okay? It's going to get really weird. And I'm going to be talking now about a California Code of Regulations in Title 22 of the California Code of Regulations. And I'm going to read this to you, and we may have to continue over after the break, but I want to read you from Section 50411. 50411 of the California Code of Regulations. And it's entitled Period of Ineligibility Due to Transfer of Property. And here's what it says. Again, Title 22, California Code of Regulations. I'm reading it. I'm holding it in my hands. It's also available on the DHCS website under the section that says Laws, Regulations, and Forms or Publications. It says, following a determination of ineligibility due to the transfer of property, there shall be a period of ineligibility. Remember, that doesn't apply if the property's on the exempt list. Now, how do we determine? Now, here's how we get to the 30 months. Everybody, bear with me. Okay? Here we go, because this is where it gets really, 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 really weird. Okay? The period of ineligibility could be anywhere from 1 to 30 months. And here's how you figure it. The period of ineligibility shall be computed in the following manner. Determine the net market value of the property. So let's say we transferred $100,000 of non-exempt property. Let's just say it's money. So we've determined that this all has to do with look back, and I'm trying to tell you why people lose everything every year, because they don't understand these rules, and I'm doing my very best to explain them to you using the actual source materials, not just my opinion. So we determine the amount of money transferred that was non-exempt property. Okay? Everybody's with me. Then it says the number of months in the period of ineligibility, remember the maximum is 30 months, shall be determined by dividing the net value of the property transferred by the monthly maintenance need for the applicant or beneficiary of the applicant or beneficiary's family. The maintenance needs shall be the maintenance needs in effect during each individual month. Since the date of the transfer, income received by the family, blah, 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 blah. Okay? And you then use what's called the private pay rate. You determine what's the private pay rate in the state of California. And the private pay rate today in the state of California is $8,092 a month. Every year, the state of California asks nursing homes how much they charge private pay for a bed in a two-bedroom. And as of 2016, it's $8,092. Now, I got to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to continue this conversation. I don't want you to miss out. I want you to stick with me. We're going to get through this, and we're going to help you understand, look back, so that you don't become a victim and you find out that you, in fact, can keep almost, if not all, of what you have and still get Medi-Cal to help with nursing home costs and at the end of the day, not lose it all to recovery. It's important to understand. Don't go away. We got to take a little break. If you have any questions, give me a call during the break, 800-999-8007. Be back in just a second right here on Assets and Aging. Okay, welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. We're talking about, pardon me, this is your host, Bob Scrivano. We've been talking about look-back periods, and I know it's hard to wade through, but it's really important that you have a general understanding that a look-back is not what everybody thinks it is. It's really called a period of ineligibility. And there are rules, like everything else, which govern it. And I've been reading from some Medi-Cal forms, from some California Code of Regulations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's important that you understand how it works and what works and what doesn't work and all of that kind of stuff, because it's what gets people in trouble and what causes them to lose everything when somebody goes into a nursing home, pardon me, because they've been told there's nothing they can do. They've been told that there's a 30-month look back and that if you made any transfers or gifts within 30 months, you're up a creek. And I hope as you've listened to this, and if you have to, go back to my website and listen to it again. And gather it in, and you can replay it, and you can listen to it, and you can make sure that you're getting the stuff that I'm talking about, because it could be the thing that keeps you and your family from losing everything. So we found out there really isn't a thing called the look back. What it really is a period of ineligibility. And what it means is if you transfer non-exempt property, remember, I gave you earlier a whole list of property that's exempt. If again, you can go to the Medi-Cal website and you can look up the form MC Information Notice 007. And on the very front page, it lists exempt property. I haven't even talked about the fact, folks, that there are court orders that we can get, that attorneys can do, in which we can get all of those numbers changed if we have a married couple, and we can get amounts of money increased, and we can get amounts of money income raised. All of those things are possible, but you have to understand from the very beginning that because you've heard there's a 30-month look back doesn't mean there really is one. Okay? It's really important. In fact, I want to give you another code section to read. Again, it's Title 22 of the California Code of Regulations. That's why for all these years, you know, Assets and Aging has been California's single best source for information on the issues of aging. It's because nobody else is going to talk to you about this stuff. Nobody else is going to do anything to help you to understand your way through this. Title 22, California Code of Regulations. Again, you can find these on DHCS.ca.gov. That stands for Department of Healthcare Services.ca, which is California.gov. And there's a section there under Medi-Cal called, I think it's Forms, Publications, and Regulations, or something like that. Laws, Forms, and Regulations. And you can go to the different California titles under the California Code of Regulations. And this is from Title 22, which deals with Social Security, of all things. And the title of this regulation is transfer of property which does not result in ineligibility for Medi-Cal. And it goes through a whole bunch of things in which if you transfer property, it will not result in a period of ineligibility. There's all kinds of them. I've read them to you more than I can, you know. Title 22, Section 50961 says if you make an irrevocable transfer of property under certain circumstances, it's not subject to recovery or eligibility issues. One of the things most people don't know, I'm reading to you from Section 50408 of the California Title 22 California Code of Regulation. It says, the transfer was made in return for an enforceable contract for life care. So if you enter into a life care contract in which you paid somebody to take care of you, and it's enforceable, in other words, it's a real live actual contract, that is not considered a transfer subject to the look back or period of ineligibility. I think that's a really important distinction. I think it's important for people to know that. A transfer which was to satisfy a debt, for instance. One of the things, let me go back to this other Medi-Cal form. The MC Information Notice 007, and it says, here's ways, I'm going to read this to you, this is on page 3 of the MC Information Notice 007, which you can find on the Medi-Cal website, and it says, the following are ways to reduce non-exempt property without incurring a period of ineligibility for nursing homes. They tell you how to do it. One is pay medical bills. Pay on the home mortgage. So, for instance, if you had $100,000 in excess cash, remember your house is exempt, and you had a mortgage of $100,000, you could pay off your mortgage. You could pay off an auto loan. You could make repairs to a house. You could pay off other debts. And on and on and on. And then it says again, at the bottom of page 3, it says, and this is the very bottom of page 3 of the MC Information Notice 007, this period of ineligibility is based on the uncompensated value of the property dollar amount of compensation divided by the statewide average for privately paid nursing facility, which is $8,092. What does that mean? It means if I gave away $100,000, that does not make me ineligible for 30 months of look back. It means I take the $100,000, I divide it by $8,092, which is about 12 months. In other words, it would only make me ineligible for 12 months, not 30. The maximum is 30. If I gave away $1,000,000, and I divided it by 8,092, I would get what? Like 90 months or something? I don't know, 100 months? But it wouldn't make me ineligible for 100 months because the maximum is 30. So going back to my example, if I gave away $100,000 in excess money and I went into a nursing home 13 months from now, there would be no period of ineligibility. Pardon me. Or if it was exempt property like my house. It's important to understand the regs. I want to read you another regulation. This is also from the California Code of Regulations. Pardon me, I have a frog in my throat today. And it's California Code of Regulations, Title 22, Section 50425. And it's entitled, Property Used as a Principal Residence. What constitutes a principal residence? The following items are real property, may serve as a principal residence. A house. Now listen to the next one. The entire multiple unit dwelling and any portion of the multiple unit dwelling serves as the principal residence. So if I own a fourplex and I live in one of the units, the entire fourplex is exempt. Therefore, if I transfer it, it is not a transfer that creates a 30-month look back. Do you get that? And in all cases, as far as value goes, you get to use the fair market value or the assessed value, whichever one you choose to use. Do you understand how important that is? The following items of personal property may also serve as a principal residence. Listen to this. A mobile home. A mobile home is an exempt residence. A houseboat. I actually had a client once living in a houseboat, and the houseboat was exempt. A motor vehicle used as a residence. Like what? Like a big motor home. I once had a client that rented a house, and 8 months of the year, they traveled in their motor home. Their motor home was their residence. And then it says, any other shelter not attached to the land and used as a residence. So I guess you could count a tent. What's my purpose in all of this? My purpose in all of this is to let you know that all the stuff you've heard about look back and there's nothing I can do and 30 months and all of that baloney is just that. It's baloney. There are lots of things that can be done, and all of those are also subject to a court order that an attorney can do under probate code section 3100. I'm not an attorney. I don't give legal advice. I'm just telling you what you can do. Notice everything I've said today, I've given you the source material for. I haven't made it up. I haven't said it's my opinion. I haven't said, gee, I hope it all works out. And by the way, I could give you a lot more source material, but your eyes are probably already glazed over. It's important, however, that you have a plan for dealing with all of this. For instance, remember we just said you could transfer property from one spouse to another spouse, and that property would be an exempt transfer, not subject to a look back. The problem, or period of ineligibility, is what gives one spouse the right to transfer property from one spouse to the other spouse, because it might be without the ill spouse's permission, because the ill spouse is incapable of giving their permission. So what documents do you have that allow you to do that? We live in a community property state. Remember, I'm not an attorney. It's my opinion only, so I don't get in trouble. How do we undo the community property interest of the ill spouse when we give it to the well spouse? If we're giving it to children, what gives the children the right to do that? To take property under certain circumstances from a parent to protect it? Those are all questions that people need to be able to address. And things happen so fast that you can't imagine how fast they happen. Everybody thinks they have tomorrow. Everybody thinks they have tomorrow. I was talking to an attorney the other day who was telling me about a case where they were getting ready to transfer the parent's asset to the only child. It hadn't happened yet. They were getting ready to do that. And guess what happened? Somebody guess. The child, who wasn't even middle-aged, dropped dead of a heart attack. Now what do we do? There was no alternate in the plan. Things happen that people can't imagine are going to happen. I've talked about this before. Everybody's focused on the ill spouse. Nobody's focused on the caregiver. The caregiver dies first. Now we may have an incompetent ill spouse. Now what do? We have all these rules that allow us to take advantage of them and use them. But how do we do that? How do we make sense out of that? How do we do that? I don't have the answer in your life and for you. But you have to have the answer in your life and for you. You don't have to be bound by the myth of the look back. Is there a period of ineligibility? Yes. Are there rules governing it? Yes. Are there rules that allow you to do things to protect your assets? Yes. Do you know what they are? Have you planned for them? Have you taken into consideration who's going to execute your plan if you can't? Are they going to understand what can be done or what can't be done? All of this stuff is a part of long-term care planning. Who's going to take care of me, and how am I going to pay for it? Every year it's estimated in the United States that 500,000 families lose everything from the cost of one person going into a nursing home. They lose everything. They lose everything. And there's no need to if you understand that there are rules out there that will allow you to do things that are contrary to everything you've ever heard. So hopefully, the next time you hear somebody say, oh, you can't do that, there's a look back. Oh, I've heard that if you do that, there's a look back. Oh, I've heard that they're going to take your house away. I've heard that you can't transfer anything to your kids. I've heard that you can't transfer anything to an irrevocable trust. I've heard that all that stuff is bad for you. I've heard. The next time somebody tells you I've heard, ask them where they heard it. Ask them to tell you where it says that. For 25 years, I've been telling people, you don't have to lose everything just because at the end of life you had the wrong disease. If you have cancer and you go into a hospital and you run up a $500,000 hospital bill taking care of the cancer, Medicare will pay for it, or your health insurance will pay for it. If at the end of your life you're unlucky enough to lose your mind, if you have dementia, if you have Parkinson's, if you have MS, if you have ALS, if you have the wrong disease and you need a nursing home, all of a sudden, everything is supposedly at risk. And I'm here to tell you it doesn't have to be. It's been the theme of this show for 18 years, and it's going to continue to be the theme of this show. And I really thought hard and long about delving into this look-back thing. But I thought it was important. For those of you that are vets, the new VA rules that are coming probably this year, the comment period is closed, are going to all be tied to a 3-year look back. And in the regulations, it says tied to the look back the same as in Medicaid or Medi-Cal. So those of you in the future are going to find out that when you go to apply for VA benefits, by the way, one of the VA rules is if you live on a house on more than 2 acres, you can't get VA benefits. Can you imagine that? So if you live on a house on 5 acres, you won't be able to get VA benefits. That's not part of this subject today, but you need to look at the pending VA regs and you need to have a plan if you're a veteran or married to a veteran or the surviving spouse of a veteran. You need to understand that sometime soon, California is going to implement the regulations for DRA, Deficit Reduction Act of 2005, which are going to create a 5-year look-back period, including gifts made to a church or a charity or a granddaughter to help go to college or all kinds of things. Are you prepared? Have you thought it through? Do you have a plan for dealing with it? I've told you that you don't have to lose everything, but you have to have a plan. There's a couple ways to do that. One is come and see me. You can call my 800 number, 800-999-8007. You can get in, you can see me, and we can talk about a plan. If I can't help you, I'll get you to people who can. You can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com, and you can sign up for one of my upcoming workshops. And you can do it there, or you can sign up for an appointment, or you can just email me with a question, and I'll try to answer it. The most important thing you can do, though, is begin to understand that you have rights, but you need to understand how they work and how the process works, because nobody at Medi-Cal is going to tell you. Very few people are going to tell you how to do this. And it's important that you understand how to not be a victim. The saddest day in my life, and every elder law attorney that I know, the saddest day in all of our lives is when somebody comes in and says, Mom's been in a nursing home for 2 years, and we've gone through all of her money. What do we do now? And we have to look them in the face and say, I have bad news for you. I can help you, but you didn't have to lose all of Mom's money. This program is available to the average middle-class human being. In fact, most of these regulations come out of something called the Medicare Catastrophic Coverage Act of 1988. In 1988, a nursing home was $1,500 a month, and it was considered a catastrophe. Nursing homes are now $8,000 to $10,000 a month. For those of you that are 55 and you're saying, Bob, it's not my problem, how much is it going to be when you're 80 and it is your problem? Half of all people over 85 have dementia. So when it is your problem 30 years from now, and you're 55 today, and if nursing homes are $10,000 a month today, how much are they going to be 25 or 30 years from now when you're ready? Children, you're 55 years old, and you're taking care of your 77-year-old mother. Who's going to take care of her, and how are you going to pay for it when she needs care? Do you have the answers to those questions? They're really important. Have you held a family conference? I help people facilitate family conferences every day. And I do that for free. So get the family together and come in and see me. The other day I had 7 people in my office. I had to find extra chairs. But the family was concerned enough about Mom and Dad that the children understood that they were the ones that were going to be responsible for this, so they all showed up together. I hope you understand look back better. I hope you understand that look back, which really doesn't exist, is not a death sentence. It doesn't mean you have to lose everything. It doesn't mean that in any way, shape, or form. But unless you begin to understand it and take steps necessary to be able to implement those rules and use those rules to your advantage, then you will become a victim. And I want to say this to families. Children, You have to get involved in your parents' lives. I know your 75-year-old mom is independent as all get out, and your 78-year-old dad doesn't like talking about this, but you have to get involved in this. Parents, grandparents, you have to allow your children or your grandchildren, whoever it is that's going to take care of you, get involved in this. Because they need to know what your plan is, what your wishes are, how you want to be cared for, how you're going to pay for it, what resources are available to all of you to deal with this when the day comes that you can't deal with it yourself. You have to get involved as a family. 800-999-8007. The consultation is free. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com. You can email me a question. You can sign up for my newsletter. If you haven't signed up for my free newsletter, do it. It's free. And we keep you in touch with changes and stuff. You can sign up for an upcoming workshop. Or you can just email me with a question. Or whatever it is. There's all kinds of places there where you can get information and be in contact with me. 800-999-8007. I want to once again say what a privilege it is to be able to do this show and to talk to people and to do the thing that I love to do the most in life. I like what I do. I'll be 71 this year, and I still like what I do, which I think is a rarity. So thanks for listening. Thanks for participating. Give me a call. Get involved. Make sure you're not a victim. 800-999-8007. We'll see you here again next week. Go to my website. Listen to some of my past shows or podcasts. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye-bye.